Thought we'd kind of wrap it up from a big picture perspective. We talk a lot of college basketball and NBA in this town with Utah and BYU and obviously the Utah Jazz in our backyard. So figured we'd talk about some of the college guys and making their transition to the NBA level. Rob Doster joining us now here on the Bill Riley Show. Rob covers college basketball for NBC Sports. How are you, Rob?
I am doing great. What's going on, man? How you doing?
I'm doing okay. So your biggest takeaway from last night, you're kind of like me. I do play-by-play for the University of Utah college basketball, so I see a lot of these guys, and I saw a lot of guys that were taken last night, Pac-12 guys, making the jump. They don't always translate. There's lots of hits, lots of misses. There's a lot of guys that surprise and disappoint. So as you look at your college guys, guys that you've covered quite a bit, who do you think has the chance to make the biggest impression in the short term and in the long term in the NBA?
Well, in the short term, I think it's Jason Tatum, because I think Tatum is NBA ready as a scorer, and I think that he fills a void that that Boston really needed on their perimeter. You know, they have all these different pieces and all these different quote-unquote Brad Stevens guys, right? But they really only have one guy that can go and get you a bucket, and that's Isaiah Thomas. He's 5'9", 5'8", whatever he is. And Jason Tatum's that kind of big wing that can go out there. I think that he'll average 15, 16, 17 points a game next year, depending on how much money time he gets. I just think he's that polished of a score. And, you know, I think in the long term, he's a guy where if he reaches his ceiling, I wouldn't be surprised to see the somewhere between a Paul Pierce or a Carmelo Anthony, you know, a 10-time All-Star, averaging 20 points a game for the better part of a decade. So I don't think I agree with Danny Ainge, as risky as this is to say. I don't know if I agree with him in the sense that Tatum was the best prospect in this draft, but I do think he's just probably the best fit for Boston in terms of what they need to be able to get close to competing with the Cavs and Warriors.
I guess the bigger question there might be, Rob, is he going to be scoring 15 or 16 a night for the Celtics, or will he be doing it maybe for the Pacers? Because he might be a piece, if Danny Ainge and Kevin Pritchard can come to terms, that might be part of a Paul George deal.
Yeah, he might, you know. To be frank with you, I don't think I would give up Jason Tatum to get Paul George for one season. I just think that Tatum is probably too good, and I really don't see any way where Paul George is going to end up anywhere other than Los Angeles. I think that all the pieces are lining up for him to make that move after the 2018 season, and I think Tatum is a good enough prospect and a good enough chip that you don't just give up on them for a one-year rental for a guy when you still have to go through LeBron James and then the Warriors just to win an NBA title. So my guess is he probably stays in Boston.
We'll see what happens. Obviously, here in Salt Lake City, there's a lot of angst about Gordon Hayward and the Boston Celtics, and we'll have to wait over the next 7 days in free agency to see what happens and see what other pieces Boston puts together. The Jazz last night got a kid from Louisville by the name of Donovan Mitchell. Kind of conventional wisdom around here was it would take quite a bit for the Jazz to be able to move up to get into the lottery. They only had to give up the 24th pick and Trey Lyles, who they were ready to move on from anyway, and they jumped up and grabbed the shooting guard and Donovan Mitchell that they liked an awful lot. What was your takeaway in watching Donovan Mitchell play for Rick Pitino?
I love Donovan Mitchell. Love him as a player. I didn't think that he was going to get past number 12. So I think that is a good get for Utah. I think they got good value for him, too. You know, I was never really sold on Trey Lyles being a guy that would have a long-term impact. I think Donovan Mitchell actually has a chance to do that. He's kind of a combo guard. He's already good enough to play defensively in the NBA. The big question with him is, what position is he? Is he a point guard? Because he's not really all that much of a playmaker, but he's a little bit small and not really all that great of a shooter. He improved a lot last year, but that's the big question mark with him. It's just how well he's going to be able to knock down shots from the perimeter. But, I mean, getting him at 13, I love him there. I think he's a guy that could, you know, hang out and hang around the NBA for, you know, a solid decade. I think he is probably going to end up being a starter. I don't know if you got a star out of him, but he's definitely got the piece that will be on a winning team at some point in his career.
Well, I think he fits well with the Jazz mentality, too. They've built a defense-first mentality here with Rudy Gobert and Rodney Hood and, you know, George Hill last year. They've got kind of a defense-first mentality. He played a lot of defense for Rick Pitino. And at 6'3", you're right, he's not real big, but he's got that weird long wingspan. He's got almost a 6'11 wingspan for a 6'3 guy.
And he's a terrific athlete, too. He's going to he's gonna throw out a couple highlight reel dunks for you that you're going to be really impressed about. So, like I said, he's got the physical tools, man. And, you know, I think he's got the mentality, too. His dad, I want to say his dad's like the director of player personnel for the Nets or something like that. So he understands what it takes to be a professional athlete, and the kind of the way that you have to carry yourself and the way that you have to eat and all that kind of stuff. So he gets smart kid. I think Utah fans are really going to like him, and not just because he's good off the floor. He's really good off the floor, too.
Rob Doster, our guest here on the Bill Riley Show, college basketball writer for NBC Sports. They were able to trade back, then they got back in it again and took Tony Bradley from North Carolina. Now, Carolina had a terrific front court, as we all know. Bradley was a freshman. He's 7 feet tall. The Jazz needed a little size behind Rudy Gobert. Don't know what the future of Derek Favors is here. He's only 18, 19 years old, but I think they like potential down the line. What do you think Tony Bradley could do in the short term versus the long term, Rob?
I think he's a little bit more of a project, personally. The only thing I really loved that he did last year for North Carolina was get to the glass. He's a very good rebounder and a very, very good offensive rebounder, but he's not a great athlete. He's not a great shot blocker. And he really isn't like a guy that's going to do anything farther than about 5 feet away from the basket. So to me, I think they drafted him just to kind of be a backup for Gobert, is what my guess would be, because that's kind of all I see him end up seeing him being. I don't know really what his feeling is. And I would have personally liked to have seen him come back for another year at North Carolina. I think he's one of those guys that could have played his way into a top 10 pick. But, I mean, as we know, if you have a chance to go get that guaranteed money in the first round, don't be like Ivan Rabb. Go get it.
And that's what Kyle Kuzma for Utah did. Kyle bet on himself. He had a good junior year, but coming out of the season, he was a fringe draft pick. He bet on himself. He stayed in the lottery, and it paid dividends. Kuzma goes to the Lakers at the end of the first round. He's going to be a guaranteed millionaire now, and that was a surprise to some people, Rob, because he really made a climb up draft boards after the combine and individual workouts, because coming out of the season, there were still some questions with Kuzma, but the Lakers liked him, and he's now a first-rounder with a guarantee.
Yeah, the Lakers liked him, and the Spurs really liked him, too. And the thing about him is, man, he's just built for this modern NBA, right? Like, he's 6'9". He's pretty mobile. I think he's not really an explosive athlete, but he's kind of fluid, and he's got that jump shot. To me, the key for his long-term longevity in the NBA is who would you be, how well he ends up shooting the ball. You know, I think that what he ended up shooting, 32% for three, something like that.
Yeah, he upped it from about 21 to about 32 this year.
Yeah, but if you watch him shoot, like, he doesn't look like a guy that is a 32% three-point shooter, right? But he's got a nice of a stroke, and makes his free throws, so I think he's got a chance to hang around for a while. But like I said, he's a guy that some of those teams at the end of the first round, the Spurs and the Lakers, they liked him. And you know what? I think that says a lot about Larry Krystowiak. He seems pretty good at getting these guys that are kind of under the radar a little bit and developing them, turning them into first-round picks. This is the third straight year he's that first-rounder now?
Yeah, three straight years. And I was surprised by the stat that the Pac-12 put out, the only school the last 3 years to have a first-round draft pick.
Wow, yeah. Well, see, there you go. Exactly what I was saying. So it's Larry Krystowiak. I think he's a little bit underrated, especially from a national perspective in terms of what he's able to do as a basketball coach. He's got that. I don't think people realize. I'm sure you do. I'm sure people in Utah do. But I don't think national people realize just how bad Utah was when he took that program over.
I always say, Rob, because I was here, you know, some people say you start at ground zero. Larry started underground zero and had to build that thing up. And the fact that they became an NCAA tournament team, well, they became a postseason team in 3 years and an NCAA tournament team that went to the Sweet 16 in 4 years was quite an accomplishment.
Yeah, it really was. And I hope people realize just how good he is. And I hope Utah fans, it might be, you know, when you lose that kind of talent at a program like Utah, it might take you a couple of years to get back to that level. So I hope Utah fans are aware that they have a guy that's really, really good. You know, maybe if you miss the tournament next year as well, you know, don't start firing up that hot seat. You've got a guy that's really good there.
Moment or two more with Rob Doster, who's joining us from back east today, and it sounds like he's dodging cars in traffic while doing the interview with us.
I'm actually in Boston right now, and I'm here for a wedding, and I don't know what was going on, man. Someone started just beeping their horn, and I was a little bit frustrated. I was trying to tell them that I'm live here on the radio. They don't have respect for that kind of thing.
Give me a guy. By the way, we were wrapping up our first-round coverage last night. I was away from my computer, and I come back and see that the Golden State Warriors of all teams take Jordan Bell of course they take Jordan Bell. That is like the most Warriors pick right there, because all Jordan Bell's going to do is come in, be the most energetic guy. He'll be like Draymond Green, poor man's Draymond Green, just playing defense, harassing and rebounding. For a team that had to trade in, they grabbed a perfect Warriors player.
Man, that's the irony of all this, right? That every team is trying to get better. Every team is trying to catch the Warriors, Cavs, the Celtics, the Spurs. Everybody's trying to get to that point where they can beat the Warriors. And I think if you look at what happened last night, the only true NBA title contender that really, really improved, well, maybe Boston did as well, but the only one that, let me put it like this, Golden State got better when they got Jordan Bell. You put it exactly right when you said that he's like Draymond Green. Offensively, no, like he's not that guy, right? But everything that Draymond Green can do defensively, Jordan Bell can do defensively, and that is perfect fit for the Warriors. He's not going to be a star. He'll probably play as a 9th, 10th man. He'll give you like 15 minutes a game. But, man, is he going to play some valuable minutes for Golden State? Like I said, they got better.
By the way, all those things you just said were the same things people said 4 years ago when Draymond Green came out, because he was a middle second-round pick, great hustle guy, defender, probably won't be a star in this league, but he'll be a good player. And it turned out, well, he kind of turned out to be a star. I'm not saying Jordan Bell would be, but all those things you just said about Jordan Bell were kind of the scouting report on Draymond Green coming out of Michigan State.
Yeah, but the thing about Draymond Green is that the offense ran through him at Michigan State. Like, I don't think people realize quite how good he was going to be defensively, but the reason he got drafted more or less was because he was a guy who could run the offense. Like, he played the four. Like, he was basically a point forward when he was at Michigan State at the scene. So, but yeah, I mean, seeing what he's turned into and what he's developed into, like, everyone's saying, we got to find the next Draymond Green. We got to find the next Draymond Green. Well, guess what, man? You're not going to find another Draymond Green. You're not going to find a 6'6 guy that can protect the rim, that can handle the point, that can knock down threes, and that can guard anybody from 1 through 5. Like, they just don't exist. There's a reason why he's so good, he's so valuable, and why he's been able. He's had as big of a part in changing what the NBA is as Steph Curry has. I truly believe that.
Two more things for you, Rob, then we'll let you go get to your wedding in Boston. Give me a team that you think, with the overall draft last night, whether it was trades or prospects, whatever it was, who do you think really helped themselves last night?
I mean, this is going to sound really weird. I can't believe I'm actually saying this, but I think Sacramento had a fantastic.
I said the same thing. They were my winner last night. I loved the Sacramento draft last night.
They got De'Aaron Fox. They got Justin Jackson. They got Harry Giles, who I think is a – I mean, look. I'm all in 20, I'm all in on Harry Giles there. To me, we all know the story about the knees and everything, right? The injuries that he's had. Like, when I saw him when he was healthy. He was Chris Webber reincarnated. So it's kind of ironic that he ended up going to Sacramento. But the big thing for him is that he tore an ACL, right? Then he tore another ACL. And then he had the off-season surgery this year. He's never had a chance to actually, like, develop and practice and work on his game. Because every offseason, he's just trying to get healthy, trying to rehab. So now that you've got a situation where he is going to be healthy and he's going to be able to work on what he can do. Like, to me, that was the biggest thing last year with him. He was out of shape, right? But he didn't know, like, how to play. He didn't know what he was doing. And it was obvious that, like, he was missing rotation. He wasn't making the right read offensively. So now he's going to have the chance to learn how to actually play basketball. I just hope that he's in a spot. Like, I just hope the Sacramento doesn't ruin him, man. That's a town that's really good at ruining basketball players, and I hope it doesn't happen to him.
Well, and then they added maybe my favorite player in the draft, because I'm a Kansas alum and I love Frank Mason, and I was so happy to see him get a chance to be there, and I'm telling you, there may not be a better or tougher all-around player. I graduated from Kansas in 92, and you factor in the Pierces, the LaFrenz, there have been a lot of guys that have gone to the league, but as far as a college career, Frank Mason was unbelievable, and with his work ethic, I think he's got a great chance to stick on that team as a rotation guy.
Yeah, you know, he's one of these guys. Monte Morrison's another. T.J. McConnell is another. Fred VanVleet is another. When you have a really good point guard that can get in there and actually, like, play your role and understand what you're supposed to be doing as a point guard, like, you'll find a way to flash in the NBA. I think that we're looking for 6 years, and Frank Mason will still be on the NBA roster.
Before I let you go, give our listeners one or two names to keep an eye on at the top of next year's draft.
How about Michael Porter Jr.? Like, that's the one guy. Everyone was talking about this guy from Real Madrid, Luka Doncic, I guess his name is. I've never seen him play, but I'm going to throw it out there because people seem to love him, and I'm going to try to make myself look smart. But Michael Porter Jr., the kid going to Missouri, is, I think, there are NBA GMs that would have taken him number one in this draft.
How does he compare? I was hoping to see him play at Washington because Utah sees Washington, but how does he compare? Would he be a better guy than a Markelle Fultz or Alonzo Ball, you think?
I think he is – if I had to compare him to someone – like, look, here's what he is. He is the perfect fit for what new modern NBA is. He can guard different positions. He has the height to guard power forwards. He has the athleticism to guard threes. He makes threes. He can handle the ball. He is probably athletic enough. He could have been a high jumper if he wanted to. Like, he's a guy that just fits this new mold of, like, small ball four in the NBA perfectly. He's just such a terrific player. And I hesitate comparing him to anyone else because I think what makes him so special is he's kind of unique in what he's able to do himself.
Hey, Rob, great catching up. Thank you so much for making a few minutes on a Friday. Go enjoy your wedding. Avoid the cop cars, and we'll talk to you again soon.
As long as they're not coming from me, man, I'll be all right.
Thank you, Rob. Rob Doster with us from NBCSports.com.